Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right, Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden, the truth straight up on a wonderful Friday, and we'll have our Friday funnies at the...
Right, that's right. At the end of the show, I found a funny video. Hey, and here's a happy party Friday toast. Leo, you got to let us know what you're drinking and what you're eating. This, I have to confess, is caffeinated sparkling water. And so that's what I'm drinking. It's bad when you have to pick your sixth grader up from school if you smell like something other than that. Happy party Friday. We're gonna be talking at the bottom half of the hour with Dave Wissel. He's a Park County Republican candidate for county commissioner, and you will be shocked to hear that rhinos are attacking him. And so we're going to have him on to sort of set the record straight there. But wanted to start off with Robert Spencer from a Jihad Watch. He called it first winning of the election in Italy with Giorgia Meloni winning. And he also predicted the liberal meltdown, right?
Uh-huh. And the Swedish election, which was much closer and much less expected, although it was deemed pretty even, where the Sweden Democrats ended up being the biggest party in the coalition or hopeful coalition to rule Sweden.
So all of which came to pass, and we're happy to have him with us now on the line. Hey, Robert, happy Friday. Thank you for your time.
Happy Friday. Good to talk to you folks again.
That's right. So you called it. And then I started out by talking, and it came true. Is the liberal globalist elite media meltdown about what you expected, not as bad as you expected, or worse than you expected?
Oh, I think it was just about exactly what I expected, that they would say, this is a fascist who is the first fascist prime minister since Mussolini. Exactly the same playbook that they always play. Giorgia Meloni has nothing to do with Mussolini or fascism. If anybody's a fascist, it's Joe Biden. Fascism is the concentration of this is what fascism is, and nobody ever actually defines
it. Good.
To do that real quick, if you don't
go.
Mind.
Yes.
In communism, the government confiscates all the means of production. So you can't own your business. You got to work for the government. And everybody's a slave of the government. Fascism is similarly authoritarian and totalitarian, but you can still own your business. You just have to do exactly what the government tells you to do with it. Everything is coordinated according to the wishes of the people in power. And so what we have in America right now is getting very close to a fascist state. Because Joe Biden is working hands in glove, in lockstep, with the owners of the big corporations, the social media giants. They all have the same political perspective, and they're all working for the same thing. That's fascism.
Right. Let's go to COVID, when you couldn't
– fascism.
You know, with COVID, where if you were
COVID was a very nice fascist.
Right. It's like if you happen to own a big box retailer, you could stay open. But if you were like the little corner store guy, you had to close.
You're a danger.
You're a danger. And they'd seize your liquor and put chains across your door. So.
And that concentration of power among a little oligarchy, that's the quintessential characteristic of fascism.
Yeah.
But this is a scare word that the left uses in the media to make people think, oh, Giorgia Meloni's something very bad. And of course, she's the same bad as the Republicans who vote for Donald Trump. And Biden, of course, has used the same word on us.
Right.
We're
just semi-fascist.
Semi-fascist.
I'm not sure what that means exactly. It's not clear what a semi-fascist is.
Well, it was interesting. Biden came out and said that the results of the Italian election were a threat to democracy. And it's very hard to figure out how
an election,
a free and fair election, is a
that is a threat to democracy.
Democracy.
If you're a Democrat,
when it doesn't go to the left, then it's a threat to our democracy.
That's insane. I hadn't heard that. That's really
guy
is just a self parody. It's incredible. But anything that happens that the left doesn't like is a severe threat to our democracy. That's pretty much a code word now for their control of everything.
Exactly. Right, right. Well, you know, and I would imagine, and I wanted to talk about this a little bit, you know, I haven't seen the media pay this much attention to an Italian election. I mean, I would bet that, you know, if a couple of weeks ago you would ask most, even, you know, maybe big media reporters, you know, who was the current prime minister of Italy, they wouldn't have been able to tell you, let alone who the past one was, let alone who was running.
Know?
Bertolucci, is that the, that's a pasta company.
No, no. What's technocrat, it? Dagny.
Oh, okay. See, I did not know, but I know who Milan is.
See, that's what you get from a big time reporter.
Well, I'm not a big time reporter anymore. But
well, at least you came up with a guy who was a prime minister
exactly,
a few years back.
But what is it you think about this? And I think I know, but I want to hear your thoughts. Why all of a sudden everybody in the media deeply cares about who the prime minister of Italy is going to be?
Well, she's not in the club. You know, George Carlin said it years ago. There's one big club and you're not in it. And that is more true nowadays than ever. And Giorgia Meloni is not in the club. And they hate it when somebody who's not in the club gains power. It's the same thing as when Trump won in 2016. It's not supposed to be that way. Only people who are in their group are allowed to hold political power. So they're always deeply threatened and afraid and lash out whenever somebody on the other side actually wins.
Well, their other trick is going to be try to drag Meloni, now that she's elected, into the club and say, no, you know,
you're gonna try to Mitt Romneyize her.
Yeah, Mitt Romneyize her and say, oh, you know, this
yeah,
is
and
great.
That's very true. And if that doesn't work, then you're gonna hear that she's been accused of various crimes and it's gonna
yes.
go on.
They'll have the FBI raid her
or whatever.
That's right. That's right. Let me, we've got a bunch of comments here that I want to get to, and you can comment too, just in our chat section. Johnny J running for HD5 says you took her off their platform there too. That's right. They took her video there. I can't understand what that was about. And then there's a new t-shirt. Leo says AOC for Italian fascists. I'm from Charlene. As leftists in America lose their pension values, they will wake up to Biden. Mm-hmm. And then she says, yeah, she saw that Carlin video yesterday. He knew it in the 1970s. Well, how likely, now the EU people are making all kinds of threats and talking about doing horrible, terrible things to Italy in retaliation for the voters electing somebody who wasn't in the club. I mean, what do you see happening going forward? Will this just be something where everybody stomps their feet and gnashes their teeth and stuff and then everybody moves on, or not?
Well, it'll be ongoing. These people don't give up. And so you look at Viktor Orban in Hungary, he's another one who's not in the club. But he's managed to hang on. He's very popular in Hungary. He was reelected. And there is constant pressure on him from the EU establishment. But he doesn't give in. And he has enough support at home that he's able to pull it off. That could happen here. But what's more likely, unfortunately, since it's Italy, is that she will be another short-term prime minister. There'll be another election. And the whole thing will go on, probably with the elites back in power. Doesn't happen, but Italy tends to have a high turnover.
Well, in the last 11 years, there has been 7 Italian governments, which means that they last,
there you go,
on average about 6 months.
Kind of like a news director in the TV business. So, this is the elites are calling Chuck, telling him to stop. Well, that makes sense. What? How will the elites get their power back? I mean, you do still have, pesky as they are, the voters in Italy, right? And I don't imagine they will have changed their mind. How do you see that playing out?
Well, see, the voters in Italy elected her to start with because they're disgusted with the open borders and the mass migration and the crime and the terror threats and everything else that comes with all that. And so if she stops that, she's likely to be enormously popular,
right.
But at the same time, the press, of course, will be relentlessly against her. Everything she does will be criticized, just like with Trump, and she will be accused, rightly or wrongly, and almost certainly wrongly, of some kind of corruption or other, and
right.
That's how they'll try to get her out.
Well, there is one point of contention between the three parties. Her party is supportive of Ukraine and the EU effort. Berlusconi and Salvini are not. They tend to be more sympathetic.
Hey, somebody's got their mic on. Or is that you? Are you being?
Salty,
hey, well, somebody, okay, there's me. Sorry, Robert.
Attacked.
that somebody in the Zoom call was there. Okay, so go ahead again, Chuck.
Well, so that can be, you know, it's this Ukraine. I want to get your update on Ukraine and the Nordstrom bombings. You know, that's something that could, because I think that conflict is not going away anytime soon.
Ever.
No, not at all. I mean, you got Ukraine applying to join NATO.
Right. Now,
that is a very delicate situation, and Putin is already warning of nuclear war. I really do think that he's very unlikely to unleash nuclear war. Nobody really wants to see nuclear bombs going off. But even the fact that we are here, that the threat is being made, is bad enough. And it's only going to get worse if Ukraine joins NATO. It also seems to me, with the billions going to Ukraine all the time, that there's some corrupt enterprise happening here. The American people are in tremendous need and are going through great economic difficulties, and we're sending billions and billions and billions all the time over to Ukraine, while the guy over there who's supposed to be in a war zone is posing for Vogue photo shoots.
Right.
So it just seems very fishy. And right. I don't know what's going on there, but I don't think that it's wise for us to get involved more right now, especially when the threats are ratcheting up and it's such a tinderbox and we could end up in World War III by next week.
Well, they had the continuing resolution, which passed the Senate and House this week. In that was 13 more billion for Ukraine.
What on earth are they doing with it? What can they be? That's a lot of money.
10% for the big guy.
Yeah, that's true.
What is discouraging in the House, anyway, it was 230 to 201, so not a lot of Republican objectives. But in the Senate, it was 75-25. So, you know, 20, half of the Republican caucus in the Senate we're just dying to send another $13 billion to the Ukraine.
Well, and defense contractors.
You got
it. Yeah, Raytheon, sure. Right.
There's a lot of allegation of money laundering, and I do wonder if these corrupt politicians are getting kickbacks from there. I don't know. Something is very fishy
going
about
on
it
there.
All.
Well, let me ask you this.
Well, let's talk about Nordstrom 1 and 2.
Yeah, speaking of fishy.
Fishy, I mean. And we've talked about here on the show that we think that the only country that had the means, motive, and opportunity to bomb the pipeline was the United States. And the immediate calls that Russia did it seemed to fall a little
flat.
Because
Russia does everything. Russia did, you know, they had the Hunter laptop.
Do you see it the same or differently?
I do. I think you're absolutely right. Why would Russia blow up their own pipeline? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, somebody was saying, I read some article, was it in the Spectator, that said they were going to blow up their own pipeline to show us that if they wanted to blow up our international communications cables, they could. I'm like, well, that doesn't...
Yeah, why don't they blow up our international communications?
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
It's so far-fetched, and I suppose they still do it because people believe this nonsense.
Well, where do you see...
Yeah, when I saw an article in The Hill, which it said that... the suspicions have been largely centered around Russians doing it, with a few conspiratorialists.
Like indicating the election elsewhere. Deniers.
The election deniers indicating something else.
Yeah, that's state media right there.
Yeah.
That's somebody's propaganda line.
It right. is kind of funny. You do see, just comparing that, the media jumping up and down all crazy over the Italian prime minister situation. But then somebody blows up a pipeline potentially delivering crucial, you know, oil and gas and natural gas to Europe during the upcoming winter season. And that's dropped. You can't find anything on it, right? There's nothing going on about that today. They're like, pipeline, we're over that. But what about that fascist Italian prime minister? I mean, it is weird. It's not weird. We know why they do it. It's corrupt, I think.
Oh, no doubt about it. Yeah. I mean, that in itself is suspicious.
Yeah.
If we had a real media, then they would be investigating to see if there was U.S. government involvement in this.
Right.
In the pipeline.
We're talking with Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch. What do you see for the winter for Germany? And, you know, I'm reading things that their economy is at least struggling, and they are the powerhouse in Europe. Is this going to be a bleak winter for them?
Yeah, and it's their own fault, really. I mean, you know, the famous video has made the rounds all over for the last few months of the Germans laughing at Trump when he says it's dangerous to be too dependent on the Russian oil.
Right.
And there they are making fun of the rube who's an idiot and who turns out to have been right all along. And also they're hamstrung by their own green agenda that keeps them from engaging in nuclear power. And so they've brought it on themselves.
How do you see, because one of the things I know we've talked with you before about is the immigration, particularly of Muslim people into Europe and how that's changed the dynamics. And that was one of the reasons that Melania, you know, her stance on having, you know, not such open borders. How do you see that playing out as time goes forward? Because it seems like, you know, the Europeans seem to be completely, except for in Italy, at least briefly, befuddled and lost. And sooner or later, it seems to me, I mean, there's a vacuum, it seems to me. And I would think
somebody's going to fill it. Well, their problem is not going to be Muslim immigration so much. It's going to be Ukrainians. They've got millions in the borders, millions in Poland and elsewhere. I'm not sure how they're going to assimilate all those.
Well, you know, the whole the mass Muslim migration came about because of agreements made in the 70s between the Arab League and the European Commission that would encourage mass migration from Arab League countries into Europe as a means to make up for the aging workforce.
Right.
Which is kind of ironic because most of the migrants end up going on welfare and not working at all.
Right.
And nobody was taking into account the massive cultural change that would come about as a result of this. But these countries are going to be completely transformed because they're going to have Muslim majorities, France, Germany, UK, by the end of this century.
Right.
Wow.
And then we'll see Islamic republics and who knows what there.
Right. Yeah. Georgia Meloni may not be the fascist that they think she is. Well, why do you compare her then to one other thing I wanted to talk to you about is, as you predicted she won, as you predicted there was a meltdown. Well, how do you see if there are any sort of impacts or perhaps predictors of what we might see coming up in the United States, particularly in the midterms?
Well, I think there's a tremendous groundswell of dissatisfaction in the United States with Joe Biden, with the open southern border, with the economy in the tank, with inflation, with the gas prices, and the humiliation on the international stage with the botched withdrawal from Afghanistan and everything else. But the Republicans are so bad and so off message that I'm not sure they're in a very good position to capitalize.
What do you mean
by
that?
I don't see the red wave other people are seeing. Maybe it'll happen. I hope that it happens to get some of these corrupt individuals out, but I don't know.
We had Dr. Brian Junedep on the other day saying that he thinks the Republicans should be hammering home the immigration issue because he says it ties into everything
crime,
everything. What would you be if you were, you know, had a magic wand and you could smack the head of the Republican National Committee over the head with it? What would you recommend they message?
I would say that, but I would also say that they need to counter this business about how our democracy is under threat and that Trump is a fascist and that the MAGA Republicans are a big threat to the Republic itself, and to explain how the Democrats are trying to criminalize political dissent, and that would be the end of a free society. Maybe it's a little arcane for people to understand. I don't know, but these are very perilous times, and I don't see any Republicans pushing back against this, frankly, authoritarian agenda on the left.
Well, you don't. You certainly don't see the majority leader of the Senate.
No, that's because they agree.
Or Thune or Barossa. Those are the top three in the Senate. And you know, it's at least there's some people in the House, Jim Jordan and others that are pushing it, but it is an amazingly
servile
group of Republicans in the Senate. That was interesting to see that Mitt Romney, you know, the presidential nominee of the Republican Party, refused to back or endorse his fellow senator Mike Lee. Instead, he's saying, "Oh, I'm friends with McMullen and Mr. Lee, and so I'll just gonna be neutral.
I'm just gonna be neutral. Yeah. Well, I mean, don't you think, Robert? To me, it's like that's the Uniparty, right? Because the those establishment Uniparty Republicans hate Trump and hate MAGA Republicans every bit is because, again, because we're not part of the club and we're not, you know, they've all got their money and their power invested, and they want anybody who threatens that, like us and like Trump, is a threat to them. And on that, I think that's why you're not seeing it in a way, because they agree. I mean, I think they'd rather have Joe Biden reelected than Donald Trump again.
Oh, sure. Yeah, no doubt about it. Mitt Romney's in the club. He is an establishment Republican, which means he's just controlled opposition, doing whatever the Democrats want. And he doesn't want to see the America First policies that Trump is for prevailing. And right. So, you know, also, it's weird how many of these people have children who worked in Ukraine. And he's another one.
Given the fact, particularly, that there's a war going on there, so it doesn't.
And they're not doing the fighting.
Exactly. Let me ask you just a couple more questions back to Italy, because I was interested in, you said you don't think that she's going to be able to hang on, but they'll.
I do. I think it's going to be a stable one. I think Ukraine is a problem, but they three of them are not the Senate perilous one they had when they had M5 in it and the national government. I mean, I think unless the personalities get away, you got to remember she was part of Berlusconi's party, and she made her a youth minister, so they get along pretty well. I don't see necessarily a breakup unless it comes down to personalities.
Well, great. I sure hope you're right about that. Yeah. If all goes well, she could end up stabilizing Italy, restoring Italy's national identity, stopping this mass migration that's going to completely overwhelm Europe, stopping it for Italy anyway. And that could have transformative consequences for the rest of the continent and the world.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Do you see, you know, it was one thing when you just had Viktor Orban and you have her, but I mean, and then you're talking about Sweden. I mean,
well, you also have Poland.
And Poland exactly.
Also I mean, it's not in the club. The right. EU club.
So it seems like there is growth in the non-club club. And is that helpful, or is that, do you think, just going to make the club double down?
Oh, it's both. Okay. Because the more they grow, the more desperate the EU gets and the whole establishment. It's just like, I mean, the fact that we're having this conversation and we even know about the deep state and the left's authoritarian agenda, we owe to Trump's victory.
Yes,
right.
They had to expose themselves. If Hillary had won, probably they would just be sailing on toward.
Yeah, we'd be no wiser for it. Yeah, we'd be no wiser for it.
We'd have no idea.
But the problem, they can ignore Viktor Orban in Hungary because it's a relatively small country. Sweden has a bigger gross national product. But Italy, even with its economic problems, is the third biggest economy in the EU. So there's very little ignoring Italy except to the peril of the rest of the EU.
Well, that's great. I hope the whole thing breaks up over this.
Yeah, so do I. So do I.
All right. Hey, well, Robert, listen, we will let you go on this Friday. I know you're traveling, so safe travels. And thank you, as always.
Thanks, Robert.
Yeah, pleasure always. Thanks, folks.
Okay, take care.
There you go. Robert Spencer at Jihad Watch. And I know it's Jihad Watch, but he is just so knowledgeable on all
everything.
Kinds of
foreign affairs.
We've had a ton of great comments here. So let's see. Oh, they're talking. You guys are having your own conversations. It's from
something about rule number nine.
Rule number nine. That's right. Italian PMs last a little bit longer than Biden finding his way off the stage. Yeah, not a ton longer. Well, you know, actually, it was interesting. On the one hand, at the news conference, the mainstream media people were asking the questions about Biden asking for the congresswoman who is dead, but it didn't make it into anybody's newscast, right? So whatever the reporters.
But no one listens to those newscasts anymore. I mean, well, honestly, the mainstream news is mainstream anymore. I mean, who watches your 7 o'clock or 6:30 news? No one.
I mean, you finally have some poor NBC reporter, CBS reporter, brave enough to actually ask a tough question, and he gets back, and the editors and the producers smack him around and say, "We're not putting that on the air." Yeah. That would be actual truth. We can't be doing that. What do you think we are?
Well, I did want to bring up before we bring on Dave Whistle. I don't know how many of you watched the televised debate between Heidi Gunnall and Jared Polis, but it was a shock to me. Heidi Gunnall was off on the offensive from the very beginning, kept it up the entire time. Polis would give back occasional shots, and yeah, I think he was a little shocked that this new Heidi Gunnall. But it's too little, too late. If this had been the Heidi Gunnall a year ago, attacking, and rather than running beautiful Colorado ads, say, "Oh, I love Colorado," all the soft and sweet stuff, and she finally came out fighting. Now I don't know if she has a different campaign manager because she's gone through two or three of them, but it was good to see. I mean, right. It was good to see somebody after 8 years of softball.
Oh, yeah, Jared Polis, he's okay.
Gardner.
He's put like $9 million of his own money.
Well,
in.
She's got some money from Wells, but it's too little. And the trouble is the Republican Party is so split in Colorado. Down in El Paso, according to Peg Cage, you've got two campaigns for the two biggest ones refusing to give their literature to the state party chair, the county party chair, instead give it over to these consultants and their own little worky. But at least once in 8 years, there was somebody who actually...
She's coming out swinging.
And Polis is going,
there's
Colorado's
plenty to swing
perfect.
At. Yeah, there's plenty
Colorado's
to swing at.
Great. We
exactly.
love it. And she's going, yeah. How about that fentanyl bill you sent that killed
right.
that person? And,
right, exactly. Well, we're going to switch then again, because I think it's important. And also, I'd like to say, anytime anybody has a candidate, we're happy to have any and all candidates on our show, because there are...
Well, no, we are not happy to have any and all candidates on the show.
Well, they can come on and we'll just ask them the tough questions. But what I mean, though, is there not very many places that local candidates can get attention. So we wanted to bring on Dave Whistle. He's the GOP candidate for Park County Commissioner. He's enjoying the unity of the entire county Republican Party being thrown behind him. And no, I'm joking there. Hey, Dave, thank you for your time.
Appreciate it. Chuck and Julie, it's an honor to be with you from here in South Park, The Reality. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
So people don't know where Park County is. It's right in the geographical middle of the states. It's the high plains where, 9 to 11,000 feet, but the grasslands, they're not timberlands so much. And it doesn't have a large population, about 17,000. But it is a home of the South Park cartoon show, which has brought it international fame and renown, which I guess is Fair Play used to be known as South Park City for a couple of years. Before it changed it back to Fair Play, and it's an interesting place, and you got interesting politics there. Tell us about it.
Well, thanks a bunch. Yeah, we've both my wife Lillian and I are 40 years are Colorado natives, so we're some of the few left. I grew up in southeastern Colorado in Kiowa County in the town of Eads in the Great American Desert. And my family's been coming to South Park actually for over 100 years. My grandfather, Aurelius Barr, was a sheep herder on the Sam Hartzell Ranch out in the Hartzell area back in the 1920s and 30s. Huh. And so I guess we were just kind of destined to be in South Park. My first vision was probably about 8 years old. We had friends of my family from the Eads area bought 90 acres up on Mosquito Creek up above Highway 9, and they built this huge log cabin. So we would come up for summer vacations.
Cool.
So we stop at that overlook at Wilkerson Pass before it is the way it is today and saw all those checkerboard squares of these 5-acre tracts being built, and that turned out to be South Park Ranches. Mm-hmm. And that was the beginning of the development of South Park. So from a young man to now, 44 years later, I've got to watch this incredible place, this gift from God, change. I've had a big part in it. I moved here to play rock and roll. I'm a drummer by trade. I needed a day job in 1979, and there was an opening at the assessor's office. I applied. I had no idea what the assessor did. Other than in Kiowa County, it was Jimmy Bindorf, and he would come by every year and give my Uncle Keith this little yellow piece of paper. Property declaration. I applied. I got the job. I moved to Fair Play and expected to be, we would be the lead act at the Rainbow Music Hall someday. And this was just a stopover. Well, 6 months later, I was appointed the deputy assessor. 10 months later, I was appointed the assessor.
That was a quick ride. So
six weeks after my 24th birthday, they gave me the keys to the car, and I did that for 38 years.
Wow. Well, you know, let me ask you this before we get into the issues that are there. It would seem to me that in a more rural area like Park County, county commissioners probably play a pretty significant role. I mean, most counties have county commissioners, but when you have areas that, you know, where the major group of people live in the city, you have there, that was elected city officials.
Well, as I understand, there are only two incorporated cities in Park County, Alma and Fairplay.
So they've got
unincorporated cities like Bailey and some others.
So but county commissioners play a big role, right?
Yeah, those are all the unincorporated areas that are in the jurisdiction of the county commission. You know, so I've been an elected official for 38 years. I thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, they gave me every opportunity. I took advantage of it. You know, I helped bring appraiser licensing to the state, which I apologize for now after 34 years of federal control with the Board of Real Estate Appraisers, brought those same professional qualifications to the private and the public sector. Didn't matter where you got your paycheck, you would have the same rules. That's completely different now. It is a completely different program, but I'm still proud of what we accomplished, you know, brought that program in. I've been a volunteer for 38 years in the water business on the Upper South Platte Water Conservancy District. I chair our water authority that covers that geographic area from Two Forks, if you will, upstream to the Continental Divide. And that gives me, I think, the best toolbox of anyone who could run for this office. But the Republican Party doesn't see it that way.
Wait, now you're a Republican, right?
I have been a Republican all my life. My parents were Democrats. They became Republicans before they passed away.
Okay. All right. So what are the politics, I guess the breakdown in terms of, does Park County, is it go more Republican, more independent, more Democrat, a mix?
I think I was talking with Chuck earlier that we are traditionally a red county. We are a red county because the people here who live here remain that, you know, keep it that way.
Right.
We have traditionally had good support from the Republican Party, but from about 2009 forward, we have had the elites take over and they are running things, and it's not necessarily for the folks.
Ah.
It's for the Republican social club that they operate. And the people that are in the club are good, and the people that are out of the club are not.
Now, Chuck and I are not in the club, in any club. I'm taking it. You must not be in the club too. Is that part of the, is that the problem here?
No, I'm not in the club. I left the formal Republican Central Committee, in about 2014. You have to understand, my wife and I have been involved in this since 1980.
Okay.
We've both been county chairman, we've been vice chairman, we've been active. For 30 years, we gave our heart and soul to the Republican Party. 2010 and 2012, my wife ran for commissioner, this very seat, and the Republican Central Committee and the people in charge made sure she did not win.
Ah.
They had a liberal person, the former mayor of Alma, who they preferred over her, and she's the best commissioner I've ever seen. If I can be half as good as her, I'll feel good. Mm-hmm. In 2014, they ran an employee against me for assessor. I was able to win that race. And in 2018, they ran one of their elite persons who for assessor, and she won by 21 votes.
Wow. Okay.
So why'd you decide to run this time?
Well, after I left the public sector, I never expected to come back to the public arena. I went into the appraisal business. I'm a certified general appraiser. I've been that for 30 years. I brought that professionalism to the tax roll, and I've expanded into all kinds of property appraisals. What I actually found my niche in and what I do now and prefer to do is estate-based work for large assemblages of ranches and water rights.
Okay.
It takes all my public skills and my water skills and puts them together for the benefit of my client.
That's great.
Well, now, here, I mean, in the Adams County area, and I'm assuming, you know, we were at the state assembly where we all, the people at the assembly elected a slate of candidates, and the establishment people in the club freaked out and then put their own slate in and told us now we have to unify. But I'm taking, I take it that, that whole, you're the candidate, but I'm taking it that the unity, you're not feeling it there.
Well, you won the primary, correct?
I won the primary. I won the primary by 4 points. I mean, they did what they normally do. They put out an anonymous hit piece mailer in violation of the Campaign Act. So I filed a complaint against the entire Republican Central Committee, the officers and select elected officials with the Secretary of State. Now, do I have a smoking gun? I can't say that I do, but I have lots of leads and I have lots of information from a small community.
Yeah.
We reported it. The Secretary of State said, yes, there was illegal electioneering occurring. You know, who to hold accountable, but it has a lot of similarities to what was used against me in 2018 by the current regime and the assessor in power.
Who is the current regime?
Well, it's the Elsner family. It's Dick Richard Elsner, the chairman of the commission, who's also the treasurer of the State Republican Central Committee. His wife, Deb, was just reinstalled as county chairman in January. The prior chairman, for some reason, stepped down abruptly, and they elected her. And so she's been running it. I've had to go through a lot of means to get on the ballot. They have tried in every way, shape, and form to keep me off the ballot from going through the caucus and assembly process. I went both a caucus and assembly and party petition just to cover all my bases.
Mm-hmm. Smart.
I've called out to the State Republican Central Committee and they are of no help because
we're talking
to the people who employ these people. Okay.
Right.
So it's just in a conundrum I've never seen. So now we had some 13 patriots stand up from the Central Committee, our precinct committee people, and two elected officials. Because the Elsners were caught after the primary openly campaigning for my Democrat liberal opponent.
Wow. No, I mean, let me just, because I want to focus on that because, okay, we're used to the double speak and the hypocrisy on unify, and then they never unify behind, our candidates, right? They only unify behind their candidates. But you're saying they weren't just not helping you. They weren't just sort of talking smack about you. They were actively campaigning for the Democrat.
They were actively campaigning for their person. I took a gentleman out who was a rubber stamp. He voted 100% with Chairman Elsner for his 4 years in office.
Who is that?
That's a gentleman by the name of Ray Douglas.
Okay.
So they were counting on keeping him. So they were doing what they could. When I won the primary, then, you know, it's really amazing. I've served in elected office for 38 years and my character has never been questioned as it has been in the last 4 months.
Yeah.
So I'm no good for Park County, even though I love this place. I've devoted my life to this place. I live here.
Yeah.
And I want to do what's best. I have an aptitude in local government. I want to apply that to the people of Park County. I will do that regardless of the Republican Party because we don't have a party. They've now voted, long story short, the people through the bylaws asked for the chairman to resign. We have
the one who was campaigning for the Democrat candidate,
correct.
Right? Okay.
Sworn affidavits from people who saw it, videos, we have all kinds of information. The party threw out the public who was there to see what happened and voted 21-11 to support the Elsners and their regime to openly support my Democrat liberal opponent.
Wow.
They canceled all the meetings from now through November. So they won't meet again.
Is that because they were busy? I mean.
Well, and every elected official except two voted with them. So that's the status of the circular firing squad with automatic weapons in Park County for the Republican Social Club.
Right. So what are you going to do about this?
Well, we're going to keep fighting and we're going to outwork them.
Okay.
We're going door to door. We're going to the people directly. That's what I've always done. The really wonderful thing, Chuck and Julie, is that the people you meet through this, Lillian and I don't know a stranger. We've never met a stranger. We've been in this county for 44 years. We've raised our children here. You know, we've got 5 kids between us, 4 grandchildren and 9 great grandchildren and 1 more on the way.
Hopefully they all can vote.
Only part of them in Park County. We're established here. So we people know us.
Right. Well, that's why it seems like it would be, why are they so, I mean, like I said, it's one thing to not help. We see that all the time. But to then actively be helping to campaign for the Democrat.
Which I understand is a liberal teacher.
Well, she is a fifth grade teacher in the Summit County School District, and she has a master's degree in gender and women's studies.
There we go.
She can be our DEI instructor, and she can do critical race theory and bring the 16-19 project.
Why are they so threatened by you? Because like I said, you've been around forever. It's not like you're a newcomer who's, you know, like a Trump kind of person. You've been there forever. You're well known to people. You've been elected before. Why this time are they pulling out not only all the stops, they're throwing in the whole shenanigans of trying to get the Democrat elected?
Folks, we have been led by malignant, vindictive, bullying narcissists. And the county's been led by these same people for the last 5 years. They are not wanting to give up their authority or their complete control. My whole focus is on the budget.
Okay.
I know that budget. I know property taxes. I know what things should look like. They keep telling us that there is no money, but yet they will not disclose or be transparent on the budget numbers. Let me give you an example. Commissioner Amy Mitchell was elected in 2020. In January of 21, she asked for budget data and they said, no, you don't get any. A sitting commissioner.
Wow.
I asked for budget data August 8th. Oh, the auditors are here. We can't get that for you. This is the late part of September. I have yet to get that data.
Wow.
I found out, you know, we had lost one of our elected officials. One of the two that stood up for right had so much fun. After a visit from Dick and Deb Elsner, she resigned and quit. Wow. She was going to retire at the end of the year regardless.
Is that Amy?
That took our elections official out. We have two ladies in the clerk's office total here now.
Wow.
To run the election. And she told me that for the last 4.5 years, she has not received a monthly budget reconciliation page that we always used to get as electeds, as department heads. Since the county moved into the new building they built 4.5 years ago, no one has gotten a budget reconciliation. No one can get data. I'm a data guy. I'm an appraiser. I follow the data. I don't follow what they tell me. I follow the data. And I want the data.
Well, it's no different at the state level. I was on the executive committee of the state central committee. And I had to go all the way to Republican headquarters in Greenwood to be able to look at anything. So it's the Republican Party say, oh, we don't want all the Democrats to find out. You know, what they don't want is anybody to find out.
Well, and you would think that the state Republican Party, you know, if they found out, and I'm assuming they probably, if we know, there's a chance somebody's mentioned this to them, that they have the chairperson of the Park County GOP party there campaigning for a Democrat. You have a, I mean, I could see if you're a county commissioner, wrong as it might be, you can campaign for whoever you want. But you would think that if you're the county commissioner, not only are you supposed to be the county chairperson, you should be neutral, but you should be not supporting the Democrat, right?
Well, it's interesting. What is against the rules is for an elected official, a Republican elected official, to back a primary candidate. It is not illegal for them to back Democrats, unfortunately.
Because who would have thought?
Yeah, who would have thought?
Well, I can tell you the people that stood up did reach out to Christy Burton Brown, and she has been of limited assistance, and that's being kind.
Yeah, well, no, yes. I would say she was of no assistance, as she often is. Is Elsner is part of that Greenwood Village cabal.
Yeah, so, you know, all I'm trying to do, folks, is do the right thing for the people, because I owe the government nothing. I mean, it gave me nothing but opportunities, and I took advantage of them to everyone's benefit, I hope, and I believe so. My whole framework is on integrity, teamwork, and fight for what's right. We can't get anything done if we don't engage the people that do the work, and that's the people that work for the county.
Yeah.
And I am really concerned about them. You know, we have 30% vacancy rates.
Whoa.
We can't get anyone to drive a road grader and keep our roads up. We have 12-hour sheriff's coverage. I won't tell you what 12 hours he's covering.
Wow.
He says he has no money. The commissioners will give him no money. And I find that unacceptable.
Well, yeah.
We must. First order of business. In the theory of hierarchy is safety.
Right.
All right. If you need a deputy at some time in the morning and you call, because I know from personal experience, there's no one available to dispatch for you. So we're on our own. Yeah. Okay. We understand that. We live in the country for a reason. We do not live in the city for a reason. That's the freedom.
Right.
That's the lifestyle. That's the beauty that we live in every day. But well, that comes with its own costs, right?
Right.
Dave, how can people help you? Where they
can go to whistle4parco.com, and I need contributions. These guys are going to run who knows what coming. They have no bounds. I want to throw this little thing in. We've been operating under the Mitt Romney wing of the Republican Party for the last 5 years, give or take.
Right. Right.
We now have the Liz Cheney wing of the Republican Party.
Yeah, there you go.
In Park County, because the assessor has resigned from the executive committee. She was the first vice chair. We have two vice chairs in Park County. And she has now formed an independent campaign committee to support Mr. Roeder as well. She is the sitting Republican assessor. She is a candidate for assessor as a Republican. And she has formed an independent expenditure committee to help Mr. Roeder. So that is the state of elitism in Park County.
Wow. All right.
Well, Whistle is spelled WISSEL, and it's the number 4, and then Parco.
Yes, parco.com. And I give away whistles. My last name is Whistle, so I give away little three-tone whistles. So I have to make sure I get you a whistle whistle.
All right.
So, that'd be great.
Well, thank you. Keep us posted on this. And thank you for speaking out. I think that, you know, it can't be easy. So we appreciate your time and your effort.
Well, you know, folks, the great thing is we have a great team out there, and we have a lot of people that know us and know what we've done and know what we're about. And they agree with us because the regime, the elites keep wanting to ask for new taxes, and that people keep turning them down. Yeah. Same this year. We're going for new taxes, expanded taxes, because they don't know how to manage a budget. I say this, no new taxes until we tear that budget apart with our Citizens Budget Advisory Committee, and we find out why we can't have 24-hour sheriff's coverage.
All right, exactly. All right, Dave, thank you for your time.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much.
All right, we appreciate it. There was a ton of great comments there. You guys have gone rogue and you're having your own comments too. But I apologize for not being able to read it. Hey, coming to the end, I did find a video that I want to play.
Friday Funnies.
A Party Friday video.
Party Friday Funnies.
And this is an exclusive interview with the FBI after the Mike Lindell raid. So guys at BBS, if we could please play the FBI My Pillow.
I'm FBI Special Agent Hetfield. We recently raided founder and CEO of My Pillow, Mike Lindell. We expected to find evidence of election tampering, fraud, support for Trump, which, as you know, is highly illegal. We didn't find any of that, though. What we did find was a good night's sleep. I gotta say, politics aside, these pillows that we confiscated from Mike Lindell are the most comfortable, nicest pillows that I've ever slept on. I mean, all the guys in the office can't stop talking about how comfortable and soft they really are. Before we raided Mike Lindell as a political stunt, I was using a competitor's pillow, and I just couldn't get a wink. It was not a good pillow. Ugh, I can't sleep. How can I sleep knowing I'm just a political arm of the Biden administration? But now, after a long day raiding Biden's political opponents, investigating concerned parents at school board meetings, and egging on disturbed young men to commit acts of terror, I can finally catch a few Z's with MyPillow's patented adjustable fill stay cool technology and fluffy design that will not go flat, no matter how many Trump supporters I beat with it.
Where were you on January 6th? Scum! You want me to do it again? I'll hit you again! Is that what you want?
Go ahead!
It's so comfortable.
MyPillow, the official pillow of the FBI. When you can't sleep at night because your conscience is bothering you from all the raids on American citizens you're carrying out each and every day, make it a MyPillow. Order yours today and save with promo code B1.
Thank you to the Babylon Bee. It's probably a lot of truth to that, too.
Sadly, there is.
I mean, yeah. I didn't find anything, but they took all those pillows and stuff like that and everything. So, hey, that is going to do it for us on this Party Friday.
Yep. We appreciate everybody. Dave Whistle for coming on, and Robert Spencer from Jihad Watch. And it's been a fun show and a fun Friday.
That's right. And thank you to everybody on Zoom. Thank you to Doug Dunn and everybody else at BBS Radio. Remember, you can get all of our shows and the links to whatever platform you like at chuckandjulie.com. Everybody have a great weekend.
Take care.
We'll see you Monday.
Thank you very much for Fun Friday. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Thank you.